I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Two Faces Radio.
Hey, CBS, what's coming on?
Friday, blast off to a galaxy far, far away. It's the Star Wars Holiday Special, starring all your Star Wars favorites. Will Chewbacca get home to his planet in time for the big Wookiee holiday celebration? Watch and find out.
Because of the following special program, Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk will not be presented this evening.
While Tim innocently sleeps, an evil thing is happening. Don't be frightened. It happens to most people.
Wishes you good cheer.
The waistband and fabric stretch to give you more room when you need it.
Sticky fingers, sticky fingers.
NBC Movie of the Week will return following these messages.
I'll give you $50 for that shirt.
Friday.
Is Mom gonna die?
No, Hem, your mother's all right.
I don't believe any of you.
Then, bank robbers terrorize the city.
And Ponch and John must perform a miracle in time for Christmas.
Did it bring back the bell?
Pardon me, how do you get a 12-pound turkey into a 6-pound bag?
Boy, are you crazy?
This diaper feels soft.
And smell.
April Fresh.
The Bing Crosby special will continue.
I think television's potential has perhaps been realized to a tip of an iceberg. And what needs to be done is to demand a higher quality TV.
You're listening to Radio Labyrinth with Tim Andrews, Jeff Liebhoff, and Ira Malkin.
All right, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is episode 002 of the Radio Labyrinth podcast. My name is Tim Andrews, your host. And your genial guide and friend through whatever the fuck. Joining me in alphabetical order, Ira Malkin. That's a good Chewy. Jeff Liebhoff.
Hello.
I want to hear your impersonation.
Yeah, I don't have one.
Huh?
There you go. Do a Kylo Ren.
Yeah, do Kylo Ren.
Oh, I'll do Finn when he takes off his helmet. Ready?
Yeah. Sounds just like him. All right, this is episode 2, our Christmas episode, even though we talked about it a little bit last week. By the way, Radio Labyrinth, you can find us on Facebook. Please like us. It's Radio Labyrinth, and because it's hard to spell sometimes, it's Radio, L-A-B-Y-R-I-N-T-H, or follow us on Twitter, @radio_labyrinth.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah. So I guess the big news this week is Star Wars. I think everybody on this panel has seen Star Wars. I've seen it. Who's seen it more than once?
Oh, man. I wish I could have. I was ready to go the next day.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Jeff?
No, I saw it once.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
wait, you only saw it once, Tim?
I saw it once. I haven't seen the end. So you guys got to tell me about the end when we get to the spoiler thing. By the way, we are going to do a bit of a spoiler show. We're going to do a complete... spoiler-filled mini episode that you can get along with this one.
Right, so that's not right now.
I'm just letting them know.
Gotcha.
In case we slip.
Right, but let's make sure they know that this is not the spoiler show.
Right. We're not going to spoil a damn thing.
But you guys better go see it.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of spoilers, did you guys see last week on Twitter after the movie came out, or even before it started on Twitter, people were posting the main image, the one thing that you really wouldn't want spoiled if you didn't know going into the movie. They were posting a screen grab that took inside the movie theater and putting it all over Twitter on all the popular hashtags.
That was those truthers I was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they're the ones that are doing it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fucked up.
People got to be such assholes.
I know. Yeah. So it made a shitload of money. It broke Jurassic World.
Yeah, I haven't.
The previous record holder.
Oh, no shit. Wait, Jurassic World, really?
Yeah, from last year was the biggest opening weekend.
But wasn't
weekend
that kind of a flop, though?
No, the biggest opening weekend? Opening weekend in history.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Star Wars.
Where have I been?
The Force Awakens now is the title holder until I guess the next one comes out.
Right. So I don't know if you want to wait to get into this, but with Star Wars, what's the critical acclaim right now?
I think everybody's liking it, right?
Yeah, as far as I've seen.
All right, but what about the critics?
The critics, well.
Entertainment Weekly gave it an 8.
That's what I mean, yeah.
That's what I wanted to know about, yeah. All right.
I mean,
well,
I want to hear what you guys think. I told you guys sort of what I thought about it, but let me hear what you guys thought.
Jeff?
I liked it. I don't know how to discuss it without giving stuff away.
You can talk about it. The story, the acting, the action. Compare it to the prequels.
Oh, yeah. Way better. Way, way better.
Well, the prequels, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, shit, a little play diorama of Star Wars I could do in my room could probably come close to the...
I thought the special effects in this movie... Now, I know J.J. Abrams really likes to load up on the special effects and the lens flares and all
there
that.
There was no lens flare.
I know.
I watched for lens flares.
I know. And that's what I was getting at. It everything looked real. I mean, of course, you know it's not real, but it looked real. It looked gritty. Yeah. And if you go back and you look at those 97 remasters and how they've changed them, they changed them again in 2004 and 2011.
Right.
Lucas updated them twice for various DVD and then the Blu-rays. They were terrible. I mean, the original thing, they looked like shit.
Yeah.
All the CGI in this one looks good, and they have big, expansive scenery.
That's what I was going to get into. Yeah. That was one of the things I really liked about it. I mean, some of those scenes, you know, the sets and the whether it was CGI or not, you just felt the amount of depth. In the scene was incredible.
If you go back and look at the original print from 77, the first Star Wars movie, like the scene that I'm thinking of because Jeff mentioned Dubax last week, is the when they land and they find the escape pod. And the stormtrooper picks up the piece and goes, "Look, sir, droids." That whole scene, you have one dude back, and it's way in the back.
Yeah.
And it's hidden because you can't see its feet. And then you have this vast expanse of desert and sky. And the contrast was great.
Right.
And then he just fucked it up and ruined it by putting all that shit in it. I never really looked at it back to back, but I recently did. And so to get back to my point is Abrams... Yeah. Didn't do that.
Right.
No, he did a lot of stuff that way better than the prequels even. Like the action spaceship scenes in the prequels were like a video game.
Yeah. Well, that's what they were made for, I think.
But these were more like Lucas inspired where, you know, he was influenced by those old World War II Japanese fighter.
The dogfights.
Yeah, the dogfight movies.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, you could definitely pick up on that. You know, I was going to mention too, in a lot of just normal action movies nowadays, space movies or anything, you know, there's shit that goes on so quickly that you can't focus on what the hell's going on. I noticed in this movie that you could really, you know, take in what the hell was happening in a hot action scene.
Well,
the
opening sequence for Revenge of the Sith where they're battling above Coruscant, it's just explosions everywhere, lasers, droids. It's so much to have to comprehend and take in.
Yeah.
And then that has to cover up the fact that Lucas didn't have a real story because they're in there blathering to each other about shit they've done in between Attack of the Clones and that movie, which he should have just made into a fucking movie.
Right.
That's the problem with it, and I can I, you know, I could talk about it, but you know, other people have explained it better.
Yeah.
Red Letter Media. If you've never seen Red Letter Media,
no.
What they've done is they've taken all three of the prequels and they break them up and explain why they suck. And
you were showing us at your house one time when I came over there.
Yeah, and they're funny, and the guy's actually funny, and he's, you know, why is this movie a piece of shit?
Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Right.
And they use the scenes and stuff, but your brain can't comprehend all of that at one point. And that's why if you're trying to follow a story and you're going to have special effects and shit like that, everything has to work together. And I think Abrams did a great job doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even a big fan of his, but I guess I am now.
Lawrence Kasdan deserves some props, too.
So one notion I had, I mean, we could talk about the movie in general, but this is more of a philosophical thing. But, you know, I'm thinking about kids that are seeing this movie now and are not familiar with episodes 4, 5, and 6. You know, the 70s ones.
You don't think they've seen them?
I'm just saying, kids nowadays. I just think it's got to be such a cool thing. I almost envy them that they'll be able to go back and maybe watch those now if they haven't watched them yet. And then 30 years later, it's almost like Linklater's film Boyhood, you know, where it took place over 12 years. And in a way, this is like almost the same thing, because it's 30 years later that, you know, there's a lot of the...
Yeah.
Wait, can I talk about this?
Well, yeah.
I don't want to censor myself later. Okay. And there's...
If you don't know, it's 30
years... There's actors... Well, but we can say that there's actors that were in the first ones that are in this one, right?
Right, of course. Everybody knows that.
You know, they've obviously aged... For real.
Mm-hmm.
The story has aged in the exact same amount of time.
Right.
Sort of, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, I almost envy the kids that can go and do that now and then kind of link this movie with those three all in one sitting where we've been sitting around, you know, for 30 years.
I have to think that prequels bother me to begin with, because if you know the story and you're familiar with the story, and then they go back and tell you the story that happened before it.
It has to be done really well.
Yeah, and I didn't give a shit about them.
Right.
I wanted to, but I just kept waiting for that first movie, the Phantom Menace. I walked into the theater with my friend. We're sitting in there. 10 minutes go by. I'm like, when's this going to get good?
Yeah.
Half an hour goes by. When's this going to get good? And you walk out after that stupid space battle where Anakin, in his super shiny... super shiny spaceship that he accidentally takes into space, blows up the Trade Federation ship.
It's been a long time since
I've seen it. The Weird Al song's better than the entire first three movies.
Yes, exactly.
What is that?
The parody of American Pie. My, this Anakin guy.
Oh,
Maybe Vader someday later. Yeah, it's a good song.
I have heard that, actually.
All right, so this is also... We can talk about Rey. Rey is the female character.
Yeah.
She is... I guess the hero of the film.
She's named
Daisy Ridley.
Daisy Ridley.
Daisy Ridley. That's a name, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She'll get somewhere just on that name.
She plays Rey, and she's the one that's she's an allegory for allegory. Is that the right word? She's an ally. She is Luke. Let's just say.
Yeah, because they grease tuned it.
Yeah. Explain. Explain grease too.
Change the sexes of the.
Oh, the lead.
Yeah. They changed the sexes of it.
Right.
Because, you know, whenever you see an action film, the first thing you think about in an action film is, who's the female star?
Is that the first thing you think of?
No, never. Never, ever has that happened.
Right.
She is super hot, though.
Unless it's Lara Croft or something like that.
Even then, that movie bombed. Nobody cares about female stars and leads in films.
Okay. Like that.
I mean, if they're the main action person.
So, let me ask you.
I'm not finished.
Oh, sorry.
What they do in a movie like Star Wars is they can make her the protagonist and then wrap all the familiarity around it. So that's what they did, and it worked.
Yeah.
And it worked. But if, you know, I mean, just say Tomb Raider, nobody saw that.
No.
Hmm?
Nobody saw it because it was a female lead, you think?
I think so. Also, Angelina Jolie, you know, just who cares?
Yeah, I guess. Well, you know, movies based on video games, you know.
Usually fail,
I guess, as far as I know.
I think. What's the biggest movie based on a video game? Anybody know?
E.T.?
No. That was the best video game ever. Didn't they bury?
There's a whole documentary about them digging them up.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so they're not valuable anymore now that they've dug them up, right? I know that people would find them at garage sales and then sell them on eBay for $400.
Really?
Yeah, for a while there.
There was a whole podcast that did, a local Atlanta podcast actually that did the whole history of Atari, and it was like in three parts.
Oh yeah.
And that was a major, you know, part of it, is how they made all these ET cartridges and
nobody couldn't
do anything with it. Like, they had zillions of them.
Did you have that game, Jeff?
ET game?
No. Yeah.
Oh, I had it.
Did you? What was bad about it?
I don't remember, but I was so young. I think I liked everything, you know, at the time. It probably wasn't as good as combat, but...
Combat.
Yeah. Come on, you could be a tank, you could be three planes, you could be...
I'm a Kaboom guy.
Oh, Kaboom.
The only game that was fun to play with the paddle.
Wasn't that like Missile Command?
No.
I was unstoppable at that game.
Kaboom or Missile Command?
Kaboom.
Kaboom
I could beat it on the highest level.
Yeah, it was fun.
Was that the one where the guy's dropping the bombs?
He's a prisoner in a mask and a striped suit, and he's dropping bombs, and you got to catch him by going back and forth.
I was good at all the paddle games. I wasn't good at the stick games as much.
Which, you got to give it to me, though. It's almost like Missile Command in reverse.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember any good Star Wars games from back then. Imagine if they made them, they sucked.
Well, you know,
arcade games.
Yeah, arcade games are great, but I'm talking about for Atari.
But I was thinking of that first Star Wars game where it's just the green lines. Remember that one?
Uh huh. Where everything's a grid and it looks like you're inside of the TIE fighter.
Wasn't that like the first video game though?
No, but it was the first Star Wars game. The best one was the one where you could fight Vader while you're standing up.
I remember that one.
The lightsaber game.
Oh yeah.
And then when that Endor game came out and you were sitting in the arcade and it was like you were on one of those land speeders.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was a good game.
All right.
But I do like, my favorite one is that one where you sit in the cockpit grid? And the grid, and then
that's classic.
You got to attack the Death Star.
Yeah. It was hard, but
use the Force, Luke.
Right. Yeah, it had all the real clips from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to your original question, though, I think Resident Evil is probably the biggest movie franchise based on a video game.
That has a whole bunch of films.
Yeah, there's like five or six.
Okay.
Huh.
Was it that hot chick who was in The Fifth Element?
Yeah.
Lilo Multipass.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing I was going to say about this Star Wars. Sorry. If you
No, go ahead.
The humor in it.
Yeah.
Which I actually enjoyed. And I went in forgetting that there was going to be some humor in it.
The other movies had humor in them.
I know, and I just forgot.
The prequels. The prequels had none.
Right, but the 70s movies, and I was like, oh yeah, that's one of the cool little things that made those movies too. Just those little,
mm-hmm.
The little lines and
the Han Solo one.
The Han Solo, yeah, and there was a bunch of stuff with Chewbacca and mm-hmm. Just little funny moments where it's like, oh right, we're seeing great action here and great scenes,
I like
great stories. And there's a
let me see that.
Yeah this is, so I was pleasantly surprised with that. Maybe I'm just a dumbass here and everybody's like, well yeah, of course it was going to have humor, but I went in there just forgetting that there was going to be some of that in there, and it was done very well. There was mm-hmm. nothing like that made me cringe or anything. There was no douche chill humor for me.
I got a lot of douche chills from the prequels.
Well,
that
yeah.
horrible wooden dialogue between Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Yeah, right. Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McBig Dick.
Oh, yeah?
This is in a movie called Young Adam with Tilda Swinton.
Yeah?
And
pausability, I guess, huh?
No. Well, first of all, Tilda Swinton, is that her name?
Yeah.
No. The clothes on or fast forward. But he gets nude in it, and I was like, holy shit. I think John Holmes looked like me.
Really?
Self-deprecating. So definitely you think there'll be a sequel?
I don't know, man. They'll probably just shut it down here.
Comes out May 26, 2017.
Yeah, so. I wish he had done the whole Peter Jackson thing and filmed all of them at the same time.
And done them every year like Jackson did. Did Jackson do 2 years or one every year?
One every year.
Yeah.
Then a couple years off, then so Hobbit movies, one every year.
I still think those movies are the best.
Where was he filming mostly this one? Do you have any idea?
Does in anybody England.
Huh?
England.
Oh, yeah?
Using the old studios.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's the sister studio of the one we got here, though. The new one we got. What is it? Pinewood. Wood Studios.
Yeah. They just have Pinewood Derbies there. Boy Scouts from all over the country come and race their Pinewood Derby cars.
Cheaters with the metal in the front of the car.
Yeah.
Cheaters. Some of the details, too, in this movie that could have been, it didn't matter, but it's just such little bullshit things that I did notice that just made it cool. Like, shit, how much can I say?
Yeah, do we want to talk do we want to talk about it?
At this point,
This isn't spoiler, though.
We're going to start talking about the spoilers now.
All right, one more thing before I get into spoilers. Just like, there was some details in this movie that, you say like the lightsaber scenes, there was some lightsaber fights.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, there was one in this movie where they were in a forest,
Yeah.
And they're, swinging lightsabers around and they're like cutting trees.
Right.
And the trees are kind of smoldering a little bit and burning where the lightsabers were hitting them, and then they'd fall over.
Right.
And it's like, holy shit, now that's like real.
If they were real, that's what would happen if you
hit
it, yeah.
And it was a snowy scene, and there's like lightsabers in the snow, and you can see it like kind of burning melting the snow and getting...
Well, that's why there aren't sword fights in the movies in forest, because the sword would get stuck.
Right. No men in tights.
No.
But so just the little details like that that I noticed really blew me away about this as well, where it was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know? And then a couple of those scenes, the flying scenes, you know, where you'd see TIE fighters like, you know, against like a cool looking sunset or something. It's like you never saw anything like that in the old movies either, you know?
Yeah. No, he didn't do any of that.
Well, I'm just saying there was like, I guess what I'm trying to say is there was a lot of stuff that was done with class that mm-hmm. that I really appreciated.
Right.
All right. Spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
You want to get into that?
Yeah.
So what should we do? How should we transition?
Well, we're just going to say here now that we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about other stuff that's not Star Wars.
But there will be a mini episode.
Right.
That you can download. Should I release it after this one?
We should
one?
Release them at the same time.
Well, at the same time.
But yeah, not embedded in this.
There will be, this has never been done on a podcast before, ladies and gentlemen.
It hasn't?
I don't know. I'm just going to say that. I've never seen it.
Well, we don't want to alienate the people that haven't seen Star Wars.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we want to talk about Star Wars more in depth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing spoilers. And for those people that haven't seen it, you don't listen to that one until after you've seen it. But for the people that have, download the mini episode, and yeah, we're going to get into it, man.
We'll be right back.
Have you seen Jingle Bells?
Yeah.
You're a funny tyke.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Jingle Bells?
Yeah.
Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells.
Say a few words for Dad.
Go on.
Dashing through the snow. And one horse open sleigh. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one horse open sleigh. Jingle bells. Jingle bells. Jingle all the way. You sing now.
Very cute.
Yeah, Christmas 1973. That was me, my grandfather, and my dad.
Oh, hey, geez. Why?
Say something nice for Dad.
Did he call you a little at the beginning?
No, he didn't call me a little
tyke.
You're a funny little
That's what I heard.
No, he said tyke, not the word you thought he said.
Okay, sorry.
Nobody says that word anymore.
I know.
Not the
I'm 40s.
Sorry. God damn it, I just fucking dropped my phone in the bathroom.
I know.
Shattered. Oh, I'm so pissed. Another one.
Yeah, it's my second shattered iPhone. And I'm really? So mad. I have no money. You know what I'm going to do? Fucking GoFundMe. I don't care. I'm no shame.
For
I'm
your
not,
screen?
I'm not working. It's $200. I think somebody will help me with that. I don't know.
If you have the insurance, it's still $200.
Yeah.
They have prices now that can fix your screen for... $100.
Yeah. I don't have $100, so I'm going to have to do that. I feel so pathetic. But anyway, maybe Santa will bring me one for Christmas when he comes down my stovepipe.
Can people tweet us $10 at a time?
I don't know if you can tweet money.
But why haven't they started that yet?
Snapcash.
Huh?
Snapcash.
Snapcash.
Oh, Bitcoin it.
Bitcoin. I could. You know what? I can't figure that shit out.
Neither can
Bitcoin
I.
was tough. Whatever. But that was me, Christmas 1973. I don't remember what I got that year. But I do remember Christmas 1977, since we're talking about Star Wars. That was the year all those Star Wars figures came out. And I finished opening all of my presents, and there was a big wooden desk in the corner by the tree. And my mom said, I think you need to check out the desk you got. I went, oh.
Yeah.
It's sad because I wanted Star Wars figures.
Tim rolled his eyes, ladies and gentlemen.
Pulled the drawer out, and there were all the 12 original Star Wars figures. And I lost my shit. And then my dad comes down the stairs with the TIE fighter, the X-Wing fighter.
Wow. All,
you know, so that was the last and first and only time I had all of them because, you know, they started putting out more, and then I never, you know, got them.
Yeah.
But I was very happy to have them.
That's awesome.
That was one of my best Christmases. And then... The other good one was, I think, 75 when we were on welfare. So we got this thing in Elmira, New York, where I grew up.
Yeah.
Well, sort of grew up. My dad lived there, but...
Oh, hey, geez.
Oh, geez, you know. Mom and I still live there, and my parents were separated, so my mom filed for what they called it the Arctic League Christmas. Now, the Arctic League was this group of people in the Twin Tiers area of New York State who would collect Christmas gifts. So it was like Toys for Tots, basically. They would collect money and then go out and buy giant bags of toys and take them to underprivileged children.
Yeah.
So here I am on Christmas Day. I had just torn through all my shit, and I had a ton of it.
Yeah.
A big wheel.
Nice.
The Batman color. I mean, just tons and tons of shit. And here comes this guy knocking on the door with a giant bag. And my mom was in the back room or something.
Yeah.
And it was a bunch of toys. So I got more toys.
Oh.
And so after that, we went over to my dad's parents' house, which for my second Christmas of the day. And then there were a ton of toys there.
Wow.
And then that night, we went over to my mom's parents, and there were some clothes. But still, it was a nice Christmas.
Yeah.
So 75. And then my worst Christmas morning was my first Christmas in Atlanta, 1996. I just stayed here, didn't go home.
Oh, and you just hung out? And,
just hung out here. I went. The best thing about it was I think I saw, it was either Beavis and Butthead Do America or Howard Stern's Private Parts, whichever one opened on Christmas Day.
Oh, see, that sounds like a great.
Yeah. Well, it ended up being good. I went with my friend Rob, who was lived in, he was from, I think Ohio. I don't remember where he's from. No, West Virginia. I don't fucking remember. But yeah. He and I went because he was, you know, an orphan that week. So that was that's a little bit of my favorite and my least favorite Christmases. Jeff, what about you?
My favorite Christmas was we used to celebrate Christmas on my brother's birthday, which is December 18th.
Why so early? I don't remember that.
Because we would
really
we would go to Arizona where my dad was from for Christmas.
That's right. You were gone every year.
But they didn't really celebrate Christmas because they were Jewish, so. We would have Christmas on my brother's birthday and then go to Arizona and...
Celebrate Hanukkah?
Not really celebrate Hanukkah, but, I mean, we didn't...
It's family time, man.
We didn't do readings from the Torah or anything, but they didn't have a Christmas tree or any of that stuff. But anyway, 1987, Tucson, Arizona, in the middle of the desert, Christmas morning, 3 inches of snow.
Really?
In Tucson, Arizona, yeah.
Is that the last time that happened?
Yeah, that was the last time that it happened
in Tucson.
On Christmas.
That's a Christmas miracle.
It was a Christmas miracle. But now, you know, you just look back, I'm sure it was something to do with climate change, global warming.
I'm
and all
sure.
That. But at the time, it was cool. 3 inches of snow, Christmas morning.
Well, with Al Gore probably was pretty concerned about that when he was being a senator from Tennessee and all.
My worst Christmas was also one of the first Christmases here in Atlanta. You were gone. We lived together in a three-bedroom apartment. Tim, you had gone somewhere, and I was just there by myself, and I had nothing to do, nowhere to go.
So why'd you leave him alone?
Is that when we lived with Stu?
No, it was just you and me in the three-bedroom place, I think.
That was the last place we lived.
Because it had a washer and dryer in the kitchen? Was that the three-bedroom place?
The three-bedroom place was at River Parkway. That was the last place we lived together.
Right, but did it have the washer and dryer in the kitchen?
I think so.
Yeah, because that's where it was. Because I took a picture of my worst Christmas dinner ever. I made a Rochester, New York style garbage plate for myself.
Okay,
the Rochester, New York style garbage plate.
With the two cheeseburger garbage plate, and I took a picture of it. And I sent it to my friend from Rochester. And he just sent it back, and he said, "Oh man, the colors."
Nice. I don't know where I would have been. I guess my parents hadn't moved here yet, maybe?
No, they hadn't moved here yet. You had gone home or something.
Hello. So they've been here that long?
Yeah, they moved here in 2010, so that must have been 2009. I don't remember.
You got to do a little Finger Lake stuff, man.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Well, I remember one Christmas we was headed up to Watkins Glen because we had to pick up my Aunt Sue, and she was going up to Canandaigua the next day, so we had to bring Sue back down to Elmira. You know, because she was going to be there.
Was she going to Heselson's?
No, Heselson's was closed. It was Christmas.
Oh, okay.
You know, so Heselson's was closed.
Oh, the Wegmans was open, though.
Wegmans wasn't even built yet. This was way before all that.
God, so, I miss Wegmans.
Oh, I know. I do, too. Jesus, you know, you moved down here and all you got's a Kroger's.
Remember I texted you guys that picture when I was up in Jersey?
Yeah, God, you know, I was jealous. I was, like, getting a chubby. I was like, you know, Wegmans is a good store because you can do all your Christmas shopping there. You can get lottery tickets for everybody for the Christmas cards. You can stop back and get some pop for your party. While you're there, you can have a slice of pizza or maybe some Chinese. Well, I got the best Chinese food there. You know, they got real Chinamen winking up. I know. I think they're Chinamen. I don't know. They look it. They could be from other places over there in different China or whatever. But anyway, my point is you can get, like, you know, toys and stuff there and, you know, buy all sorts of stacking stuffers for your family there.
Stacking stuffers.
And, you know, and then when you're done there, you can head on up to Kmart or whatever, you know.
Hustleson's was a good place to buy, you know, sporting equipment and everything if you had a kid who was in sports and stuff. But if you wanted to get, you know, you could go to the Arnott Mall too, I suppose. But
Mr. Panosian's, did you ever shop at Mr. Panosian's?
Oh, yeah. You know, Mr. Panosian's had a street of shops there on Church Street, near Church Street. Wasn't quite on Church Street. It was kind of half a Walnut. No, was it half a Walnut or was it Main Street? Right there. By
Water Street, right?
No, Water Street ran parallel to the Chemung River.
Oh, okay.
And then the other road that went, you know what? They had Church Street ran one way, Water Street ran the other, and for years they was both one way. And then I don't know when it was. Must have been about 2003 or so. They changed it so you had, you know, two-way traffic on both, and it was confusing. It was confusing, I got to tell you, you know. And then they banned smoking in bars, and it was like, why even bother going out?
Right.
Don't go stand underneath the shed. It's 10 degrees. Fuck you. God damn it. I just want to go get some fucking wings. Anyway, I'm
losing. He's done.
Huh?
Bernie Murray's.
Bernie Murray's. I guess he's opened up again. I know they had
did they recover from the fire?
Well, they had a fire, and it burned everything down. Lots of people were saying that Bernie Murray there set his own fire, but that's just speculation. I can't say whether he did or not.
I remember seeing you catch on fire eating the wings there.
Oh, God. I melt my face back then. God,
your face would turn bright red.
I know. I'd sweat like a fucking pig. Like the fucking sweat would drip down into the wings. Like, these are great. Anyway, so there's our Ira. Ira, well, here's what's curious to me.
My name is Ira, so as you may imagine,
yes,
I was deprived of the Christmas holiday.
Unlike Jeff, you're not half Jewish, you're full Jewish.
I'm just a unicorn Jew. I only have one horn that I have to
find. So, yeah, no, I mean, this is what we did in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Christmas
you went to Bada Bing and...
No.
That's in Lodi.
Oh, okay.
You go get Chinese and you get a movie.
Really?
That's it. Yeah, it's the law. You got to.
It's Christmas. That's what the Jews do. That's a claymation video where they have Chinese food. And
yeah. Watch Jon Stewart. It's Christmas
It's for real, man. I mean, I talk to my mother every year. Yeah, we're taking the other. They got a whole group of Jews, and it's like 20.
Now, is your wife Jewish?
No.
So your wife's not Jewish. So obviously the kids aren't.
The kids are not. Yeah. Don't rub it into my mother.
So what is your wife's?
Well, I always say, look, I'm an American. I celebrate Christmas.
Okay.
You know.
I am also an American, and I do not.
I know. No, I've always said that, look, I like Christmas. It's not a religious thing for me, mm-hmm. obviously. I dig it. I like having a tree in the house. Smells nice.
Right.
No, we do Hanukkah. We don't take anything too seriously.
Do you watch The Goldbergs ever?
No, but I've been curious about it. Is it good?
Yeah, it's a good show. Patton Oswalt does the voiceover for the kid. Yeah, but they had an episode recently where they're Jewish, of course, the Goldbergs. They decided they were going to celebrate Super Hanukkah. Just
Super Hanukkah?
On the last day of Hanukkah. And they had a Hanukkah shrub.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Hanukkah Harry came and left presents under the Hanukkah shrub. And basically, it was Christmas. But they decided to call it Super Hanukkah.
Yeah. I mean, look, Hanukkah's a response to Christmas, too. I mean, it's not a major. Everybody thinks that.
Was Hanukkah always a major holiday, or is it just...
For us,
it's not
even
a major holiday.
It's not.
Really.
No?
No.
It's not a high holiday.
No, like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, those are the
important
and
ones.
And Passover, those are the big ones. Like Hanukkah, I don't see my family, they don't, you know... It's
now, let me ask you, do you have a son?
I do not have a son.
Okay, no. So the whole circumcision isn't the problem.
No, it's not a problem. We celebrate Christmas. We do Hanukkah, too. And, you know, the kids actually really like Hanukkah.
Because they get to light the candle?
Like the candles.
They take turns?
And, they watch that Adam Sandler cartoon of Eight Crazy Nights.
Right.
Eight Crazy Nights.
There you go. You know, they like getting little presents for 8 days in a row. But
do your kids know how to play the dreidel?
Yeah, they do.
Sweet.
And they're getting into it. But, yeah, Christmas, it's pretty much the same and we do go get Chinese actually because we always eat early at my wife's.
You don't have a big ham?
We do.
Hey, it's a free ham. What are you
gonna
do? We go out to Conyers.
Conyers.
We go out to Conyers.
Okay.
That's where my wife's mom is from. So yeah, we do the big Christmas deal with the ham and
shellfish.
That was another thing I was telling you about.
Milk,
I was
meat.
Deprived of ham most of my life. Not that my family kept kosher or anything, but my mother didn't like ham in the house.
Did you eat bacon?
Yeah, ham.
No,
you
bacon.
Put a big slice of American cheese on there.
And a big glass of milk.
Glass of milk.
Mm.
Now let's have some oysters.
I talk like that in front of my mother. She just does the fake, you know, heart attack thing.
Ham's bad for you. That's why the Jews didn't eat it. Plus, pigs make you sick. That's why they didn't eat them.
This is what's funny, though. So we do get a tree in the house, and we've had it, you know, every year for a long time.
This is a fake tree that you got?
No. We got
a real tree?
Real big deal tree. But I have a lot of Jewish ornaments on there.
That's cool.
Yeah, like Star of David ornaments. And then we have Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny? Wait, who's the Jewish kid on South Park?
Kyle,
I'm sorry. We have a little Kyle ornament holding a menorah. So, yeah.
Tim has a Mr. Hankey ornament.
Yeah, Jeff got that for me.
But
And my girlfriend.
My mother likes to FaceTime with us for Hanukkah. Uh-huh. Now, we keep it a secret that we have a tree. My mother obviously doesn't listen to this podcast.
Well, come on. She used to know that if you're married to a Gentile, you're going to have a Christmas tree.
Not necessarily.
No?
She said to me before, she's like, well, you guys celebrate Christmas over at the mother-in-law's house, but, you know, you guys don't have a tree in the house. No.
Well, you can just throw a blanket over the tree and slap the yarmulke on.
Well, it's funny. It's a whole process, man. You know, she likes to FaceTime with us for Hanukkah a couple of those nights, and I have to set up the iPad not in sight of the tree in the background. So it's, you know, it gets intense, man.
Jesus.
You know? She's like, oh,
literally.
Literally. So that's enough of that.
All right. Well, that is our Christmas talk here.
All right.
What a horrible... I'm terrible at segues. Just
Merry
fucking
Xmas.
Awful. Huh?
Merry Xmas.
Don't say Xmas. It's satanic.
Is it?
I don't know. Fuck my iPhone. I'm so pissed. I'm so angry at myself because I have a cover for it. I took it off so I could listen to music in the car. Fuck.
So what? You don't even have a case around the... Around the side, it was just...
I have a case. I took it out of it.
What's the point of having the insurance, though, if it's not going to cover stuff like that?
It will cover it. It's just you got to pay a $200 deductible.
But you already paid it, right?
Well, once, when it broke before.
All right, so you've paid your deductible. Now they should...
No, it's for each time.
Yeah.
It's a damn pain in the ass.
I don't know why you'd have to pay $200 when there's places that'll replace the screen for $100.
Well, that's what I'm going to have to do. I still have no money to cover it.
Yeah, so. No, I know a girl that did that recently when she paid the $100 to get it, and it's perfect. All right. Fine. So
yeah.
We're working towards $100.
Well, I wanted this whole thing that I had an idea to talk about apps. There's a couple of specific apps that I know there's one that Jeff and I both do.
Yeah.
And it's Star Wars related, but I also have the other ones. But it's Topps chewing gum, Topps baseball card company, Topps trading card company.
Sure.
They got into the app business a couple years ago, and there's this one called Star Wars Card Trader, and it's really interesting because they look like cards, and they're on.
It's just exactly like when you were a kid and you collect Star Wars cards or baseball cards or football cards.
Yeah,
but do you have to buy like virtual packages of
cards? Yes, you buy virtual packages of cards. That's what drives me crazy.
This is
about
fucking
it
brilliant. Like, why didn't I think of this?
What?
Why? I haven't done it yet, but people do pay money to download virtual cards.
You've opened the pack.
I mean, because they give you 25,000
every day. They give you 25,000 space credits,
and a pack of cards costs like 5,000 credits.
Yeah. Except for it's become a huge money grab. Just explain it a little bit better. It's an app that you download onto your phone, and it works for Android and Apple,
which is free at first.
It is free. It's free every day. If
it's
don't.
Free for me all the time because I don't ever put money into it.
You can buy and get it, but they have the base cards, and they have four different levels of the base cards. They have white base cards, which are the easiest to get. Then they have green, and then red, and then blue, and then gold, or yellow and gold. So I think there's there's so many different variations, and what it's become is just this money grab. And they put out these inserts. So did you ever collect cards?
No.
Baseball cards?
I don't know much about that.
Well, the big thing is inserts, autograph cards with pieces of the jersey. And you know, and all the cards do that now.
Yeah.
All the trading cards, you get autographs and stuff. So what this Star Wars app does is it gives you these, okay, we're going to do these special scenes from Jedi, and then they just Photoshop.
They do autograph ones too, though.
I know they do. I was getting to that. It's fucking stupid. And you have to
virtual autograph cards.
Virtual,
holy shit.
Virtual autographs. They're rare. They make them so you don't. There are like 50 of them, and you know, in one level, and then 100 of them, and then a 200 of them. And excuse me, I'm gassy. And I can't wrap my mind around it because I'm more into the other one, which is Topps NFL app, which is Huddle, and it's Topps football cards.
Yeah,
I'm way more into that because I kept getting the same base Star Wars with characters that no one gives a shit about, like the fat guy with six arms. He has a card.
Yeah.
And all these minor characters from Star Wars. So in the football, at least they let you like take the cards and they're worth points, and you can play them on Sunday and make a lineup. And
it's almost like a fantasy thing.
It is, and you can win free cards, limited cards, and you can win packs, and you can win other coins. And you only get 10,000 coins a day from the NFL app, and they have these marathon card sets that you can collect all season long. So there's one week there's a vintage, and one week there's a From the Lens, and all these goofy names that you have to be a card trader to get, or a collector to get. And and today I noticed this, and yesterday, because it's Christmas, they have like 8 new sets.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to collect these unless you spend money. But the other thing they do have is they have this partnership with a company called Tapjoy, where you can get free credits for downloading apps or visiting websites and shit like that.
Watching videos.
Yeah, watching videos and stuff.
So what's the end game here with this?
I'm trying to figure that out.
to get complete sets, I imagine. But yeah.
And then you got it. And then what?
Nothing.
Well, they do virtual one-of-one cards, and they do virtual signature
cards. I'm looking
cards.
On eBay right now. There's a top Star Wars card trader, digital gold Wampa, 1 of 30.
How much is it going for?
$1,500.
Yeah.
What?
Yes, people trade them on eBay. I sold a card for $35 on eBay.
Really?
It was a digital signature card.
How do you do that?
Well, you say you have to put in your eBay auction that this is a digital card. You have to have the app, and then I'll trade you. And what you do is you trade a card that both of you have, and then you include the one that you sold.
Here's a Boba Fett number 11. $1,300.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit!
Yeah, people sell their full collections for up to $5,000-$6,000.
There, yeah, I was looking earlier. There was a you could get this guy's entire collection for $2,000.
Yeah,
for his account. He says he's got 1,000 inserts, 50 vintage, 40.
Now that's got to suck.
60 awards.
You'd have to turn over the password because you couldn't. How long would it take you to trade all that?
Over 1,000 cards, he says, so.
And you can only trade 9 at a time.
Oh.
So that's a long day.
Yeah.
For $1,000.
But well, you're sitting at home in your air conditioner.
Yeah.
What do you want to buy a hole?
So I don't really know where to go with this other than that it's something that I got obsessed with, the football, the Star Wars, and the baseball.
What would be cool about it, for me anyway, and what would get me into it more would be if you complete a set, they send it to you.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's what I think about the football cards.
Actual cards.
Right.
If you collect an entire set of the autograph variations, they should send you an autograph in the mail.
Or they should do a lot of shit that'll cost them money. But
you complete a set, then you pay $20 shipping and handling, and they send you a set.
Right. That would be cool that you'd actually have physical cards you could look at.
But they're getting a zillion people to do this online without any expense to them, really. So that's the end game for them.
Well, my username, if you'd like to follow me on there, is at Gary Titsmack. At Gary TitsMack, all one word.
Oh, I am doing that tonight.
That's my baseball Topps Bunt. That is my Star Wars card trader, and that is my NFL Huddle, Topps Huddle app username.
I forget what mine is. It's like JEKZEY or something
like that.
Gary Titsmack. JEZKEY.
Gary Titsmack is a character I created for my old.
That guy was great.
PS2 football or baseball game.
Yeah.
You know, you could make your own guy and build him up. So I made a guy.
He had like a 400 batting average.
He was great. Gary Titsmack. Actually, I've been using that name since I was in college. I would play the baseball game on Nintendo. So.
Are you Tim Andrews, a.k.a. Gary Titsmack?
Gary Titsmack.
I am.
Occasionally, you'll see that move in a adult film.
And with Titsmack?
I always think of your player.
Wait, maybe he's the guy.
I always used to give my characters that I would make the most offensive names so I could remember them.
Yeah, and sure.
Who's going to forget Gary Titsmack? Not me.
Not me. Any of our listeners.
Gary Titsmack. So it's at Gary Titsmack. If you're on there, we can make some trades. God, my fucking phone.
Oh, I have a blue. Without you, I'll be so blue, celebrating Umoja. Umoja means unity, baby. Decorations of red, black, yellow. Won't mean a thing, dear. Not even Imani and the windows, Kinatas, candles,
start dripping, and from the Kikombe cha umoja you're sipping.
Adds new meaning to the term kaumba, don't it?
You could do it all right, opening the Zawadi tonight. But I have a blue Kwanzaa.
It's all about Kujicha Kulia, man.
You'll be doing all right with your Nguzu Saba. But I have a blue Kwanzaa.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Blue Kwanzaa, everybody. That was not Elvis Presley.
No.
That is a bit I wrote in 2007 when I was trying to get a job with a company called America Comedy Networks. They were a radio prep service, one of the biggest ones in the country. Yeah. Gone now.
Yeah. What was the deal with them?
I'd applied there to...
you wrote some bits for them, didn't you?
Yeah, I wrote a ton, freelance. And then I went up there to try to get a job. They brought me up, and they had interviewed me. And this is, where was it? In Connecticut.
Connecticut, yeah.
Yeah, I forget the name of the town. Nice little town. Expensive, of course. It was right on the train line going into
Connecticut.
New York. Yeah, very expensive. But I was going to take it. They had offered me, enough money to where I could afford an apartment and everything. And then while I'm up there interviewing, I get a phone call from Larry. And he's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm up here in Connecticut. I'm going to take this job, blah, blah. And he goes, you can't. And I said, why? And he goes, well, I can't tell you.
Okay.
And I'm like,
so wait, what the timeline here?
This is fall of 2007, winter 2007.
Tim's the producer at this time.
I was a co-producer, just a menial producer on the 99X morning show.
Oh, okay. So you weren't working for them?
No. And I was working for, it was Sean Demery, Leslie Fram, and Rob Jenners. Who I'm friends with today, Jenners, he's a great guy. He works for 680, and he kind of helped the regular guy's show before it ended, and then he gave a little help to us on the whatever show.
Yeah, the whatever show.
What the fuck it's called. Anyway, so getting back to the point is, I was leaving. I wanted, to move out of the city and go somewhere. I don't know what I wanted. So I'm up there in Connecticut, and I get offered the job. But right after I get offered the job, Cumulus people call me, and I talk to Eric, and that's when I found out they're putting the band back together, including with Southside Steve. So it was Larry, Eric, Steve. And so they wanted me to be the producer, and then 2008 rolls around, January, we launch, and that's where I was for quite a long time. But anyway, I enjoy making bits like that, so if anybody out there has any suggestion or whatever, just go ahead and send them to us on Twitter.
When did they fold?
They got bought out by another company, so I'm thinking like 2009.
But they're not still doing the same type of stuff, or it's just...
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of companies that do that now. Most people have a friend who can, you can pretty much do anything yourself now.
Yeah, well, that's...
If you can sing, that's a tough thing.
Right.
Because I can't sing very well.
Right, so who was singing that? Just somebody?
Somebody who worked for some freelancer. I mean, I wrote the lyrics.
But you wrote that, yeah.
They're trying to think of a song to parody for, Blue Christmas. And,
sure.
And I said, well, how about Blue Kwanzaa? And I looked up all those things mean something.
Sure, of course.
I looked them up and I found the ones that rhymed and wrote it. So there you have it, Blue Kwanzaa, everybody. Happy Kwanzaa.
And happy Festivus. Today is actually Festivus while we're recording this.
Is that going to be a real holiday someday?
It already is a real holiday.
Yeah, they erected a pole. I said erected.
Where they have a fucking pole?
At the Capitol building.
For Festivus.
Yes.
Gay Pride Festivus pole has been erected.
What does that have to do with anything?
It's... I don't know.
Thank you, Seinfeld. See what television's done to us.
This is the thing. So, I'm not a religious guy.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably say that I am a full-on atheist, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm one of those... atheist that doesn't shout about it or give a shit what anybody else does. It's just like I have my own thing but it bothers me the other guys that just aren't religious and have problems with organized religion and make it a big thing. You can't do that and you can't.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? So I think I could be wrong about this, but I feel like those guys went down and said, well, you have to represent us, the people that aren't celebrating Christmas in some way too, and made a stink about it and put up a Festivus pole to kind of be jerk-offs about it.
Oh, okay.
That's what I think.
Kind of like those idiots in Oklahoma with their Satan statue.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, there's a Satan statue. It's a
Can you do an impression of George Costanza's dad?
Oh,
I was buying a doll for my son, and another man and grabbed the last doll. And as I was raining blows down upon him, I realized there had to be a better way. That's the origin of Festivus.
Really?
No, I don't think I can do his
voice. I can't.
That doesn't necessarily sound like Jerry's dad.
Not Jerry's dad. It was George's dad. So, well, okay, Seinfeld, TV, Fargo. See that nice leap?
Yeah, right. Jerry Stiller. I was right.
Yeah, Jerry Stiller.
Yeah, Jerry Stiller. Yeah. Oh, I thought you said Jerry's dad.
No, Jerry Stiller.
George Costanza.
Jerry Stiller. What a funny. Those people. Jerry Stiller.
Still,
yeah, he's alive. Yeah. And Mara died. Yeah. But Stiller and Mara were a comedy team that used to see everywhere on TV in the 70s.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And they were great. I looked forward to them all the time. She ended up working at Archie Bunker's bar.
Really?
As the cook on that awful final season of All in the Family, which was called Archie Bunker's Place.
Oh.
And he would come on and, you know, play her ex-husband.
Ah.
So.
That's pretty wild.
They did a lot of things. Like, you'd see.
It's a good connection.
This week on the Sonny and Cher show. And, you know, Stiller and Mara.
Huh.
Husband and wife comedy team. But, and that's initially the only reason I wanted to see what Ben Stiller did.
Yeah.
Or what he was going to do, because I said, oh, his dad must be Stiller and Mara.
Yeah.
Still dad and mom. So right. That's how I got into him. But. Anyway, I want an awful segue into television. But
right. We were talking on the other show about all of Archie's pantomime suicides.
Uh-huh.
You know, and there's YouTube videos out there of just all his, you know.
Supercut of all his.
Supercut.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, the, right, the Russian roulette, you know, the hanging. And then there's the slit wrist one, which I didn't remember that one.
That's a great one.
And he's like laying out the.
the best line in that show is. So you smell so good. What do you wear? What did she say?
Oh
no, I forget. The guy is gonna rape Edith, which is a serious moment.
Oh,
it's the weirdest thing. They're having a party at the Mike and whatever the daughter's name. See, I'm losing. I'm getting tired. What was Sally Struthers' name? Gloria. Mike and Gloria are having a party. And they're over there, and Edith runs back to get something out of the oven, and there's a guy in their house, and he's going to attempt to, you know, assault her. And he asks her if she has any coffee, and she goes, I got Sanka.
My dad looks exactly like Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
Nowadays, kind of, and back in the day. Back then, he did, too. And when he was in the Army, of course, what was his name?
Meathead.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hey, Mike Stivic. What kind of name is Stivic?
You're Pollock.
Oh, you dumb Pollock. Did you watch Fargo?
Well, we had this discussion. I'm a few episodes into the first season.
Okay, so we can't talk about season
but
two.
But you haven't, right. Well, I mean, you could do whatever you want.
Just to say that it was great and it was really well acted and Bokeem Woodbine was the breakout star of this season.
Who was Bokeem Woodbine?
The black guy from Kansas City.
Oh, he was fucking great.
Wasn't he?
What other stuff has he been in?
He's been in stuff.
I've seen him before, but he was fantastic in this show.
Let's see what he's been in here.
Who else was good? I like Patrick Wilson a lot.
Patrick Wilson was good. Ted Danson was really good. Kristen Dunst was amazing.
Meth Damon was good.
Meth Damon.
What's his real name?
From Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
I forget what his real name is.
God, see, I should have it open so I can tell you.
The guy from Breaking Bad?
The last season of Breaking Bad.
Which guy?
The assistant. The one that locked Aaron Paul in
Oh, like the red-haired guy?
Yeah.
Yeah,
looks like Matt Damon, so they started calling him Meth Damon on the
internet. Bill Burr was talking about him. I was listening to Bill Burr on
what
podcast
was he saying?
Today. Just, he thinks he's going to be like one of the great actors of
he's a great actor. He's fucking great.
Yeah, he thinks he's the best.
He put on a lot of weight.
Jesse Plemons.
There you go.
He's good. He was fantastic. Everybody in that, the whole thing. I love the family to talk like this. And of course, Saul from Battlestar Galactica was in it until he had a stroke, and then he didn't say anything the rest of the
series. Yep.
Yeah, good show. But the one question I had is, and I'm not going to ruin it. I want to talk about it.
Go ahead. All right,
there's this big gun battle.
Okay.
A big fucking gun battle at a hotel, and I won't tell you why. But after the gun battle, a UFO hovers over everybody, shines a few lights, and then disappears. Have you read anything about that, Jeff?
No, I have no idea what it's about. Totally random and out of the blue. And
sounds David Lynchian.
Patrick Wilson's like the most normal, you know, straight-laced guy.
He's Vietnam a vet. Cop. Yeah. It's set in 79.
And the UFO shines the light right down onto him, and he talks about it, and he's telling Ted Danson, who plays his father-in-law, that he saw this UFO, and Ted Danson's like, maybe we'll leave that out of the report.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, but he was really
Is it
good.
Sort of a setup for...
No.
Well, no, because totally they're not going to follow a narrative.
Maybe it was the devil guy from Game of Thrones coming down to help humanity.
Yeah, could be.
What's that show called again? Childhood's End.
Yeah.
I finished the first two episodes.
Oh, you watched the first two?
Yeah. Good show. Weird.
Childhood's End?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it
Jeff
last week.
Jeff was talking about it last week.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, on sci-fi, right?
Under the Dome guy was the... Mike Vogel was the lead.
Barbie?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know who that devil guy is, right?
Yeah, it's Charles Dance. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Richard Dance? Charles
Something
Dance?
Something Dance.
He played the...
A Lannister always pays his debts.
The Lannister father on Game of Thrones. And he was also in that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where the movie became real. What was that called?
I don't know.
Last Action Hero?
Never saw it.
You never saw Last Action
Hero?
No, I never saw that either. What do you mean it became real? What became real?
The action movie.
Oh, I see.
Became reality.
Oh, I see.
Is there going to be a season 3?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, what do you think it'll be? You think
it'll be a totally different story.
Right. Was the one with Billy Bob Thornton set in the 70s, or was that modern?
I think that was modern.
That was modern.
And that's the one you're watching right now. See, I got to get caught up in this. Is that on Netflix?
No, I had bought...
It was, but...
Was it?
Oh, you said you saw the DVDs cheap and you picked them up.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to watch season two. Once you finish, I wouldn't waste any time.
Billy Bob Thornton was great in season one. He was the breakout star, but I mean, he's already a star, but
it was almost like a resurgence because I remember everybody was, you know, he wasn't around for a while. He was doing music shit, you know, doing the band thing. And then, yeah, everybody was going nuts about how good he was
in
the first season of that.
Speaking of Bill Burr, have any of you guys watched F is for Family yet?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to get into that. I haven't.
I've followed them on Facebook and I've seen a couple of the promo videos and I'm meaning to watch it, but.
How was it?
It's on the pile of. Ton of stuff that I need to watch on Netflix.
Yeah, me too.
It's funny as shit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What channel is it on?
It's on Netflix.
Is it a Netflix original?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
All right,
Netflix
well, then
original.
I'm in.
It's set in, I think, 1973 or 75 or something like that. It's 73.
I will say I was just listening to him on Nerdist podcast.
Was he talking about it?
Talking about
it.
Yeah.
What do you have to say?
Nothing. Just well, I mean, you know what? He had a lot of Breaking Bad talk actually, which was pretty cool.
Yeah,
actually,
that is cool.
To go back for a second, do you know his deal with Breaking Bad? I mean, I know he was
on it. I don't know his deal. Why?
I didn't know his deal either. But you know, it was cool. He just started watching the first season when it first came out, and just loved it, like everybody else did, and just really, he's like, I never did TV. He's like, I never wanted to do TV. He's like, I pursued that show.
Yeah.
He's like, and this was before there was a huge buzz about it. He's like, I just loved it so much. And he just kept kind of harping on them. And finally, they called him and said, yeah, we got something for you.
That's cool.
He said he was like a fanboy just on set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said he had this whole story where he was in the super meth lab that was under the dry cleaners.
Yeah.
You know, where he wasn't even in any of those scenes.
Yeah.
And he was asking to get on the set just to hang out while they were filming.
That's cool.
So he said he was at home with his wife and they were watching it. And he's like, you see that this scene right here? I was right next to the camera during this scene. And he said his wife was like, yeah, shut up. I knew you were there. You know, anyway.
Well, he plays a dad named Frank Murphy and Laura Dern plays his wife. Justin Long is one of his kids. And Sam Rockwell plays the buff.
No, he's good.
Yeah, I love Sam Rockwell.
He plays the neighbor who's like this rich 70s porn star looking guy. He actually reminds you more of like...
Wooderson.
I know it's Matthew McConaughey. I was trying to think of his name.
Wooderson.
Wooderson, yeah. He looks just like him.
Yeah.
And they have like a good supporting cast. If you know Mo Collins, she used to be on Mad TV. She's done a lot of movies and stuff. Kevin Michael Richardson, David Koechner, Kevin Farley, Gary Cole, who's just in just about everything. Joe Buck for some fucking reason.
Huh.
And Phil Hendry, who does like all the announcer roles. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, of course.
Love Phil Hendry.
Hey, I used to have to work overnights at GST.
Oh, that's right.
I'm familiar with Phil Hendry, believe me.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that it's such a great fucking show. Jeff, you got to check it out. I would put it here's Hendry plays like the dad on the show, played by Bill Burr, watches the, you know, the 70s cop dramas.
Yeah.
And everything's misogynistic. But he also plays the guy who hosts the public affairs shows on the network TV that you see in the morning. Because the premise of the first episode is they go out and buy a brand new 32-inch color TV.
Yeah.
So they can watch the fight.
Yeah.
But Phil, you know, he falls asleep and he wakes up at 5 in the morning and the public affairs show is on. And it's about African-Americans. And then they see the host and it's a white guy. And then they go to the TV store to take it back because it's, for some reason it's broken. And the show comes on and here's what Phil Hendry says.
Jim Jeffords, thank you for joining us, ladies. May I say you all look super hot. You ever think that people would listen to your opinions more if you brushed your hair?
It's a feminist show. It's about women's issues. And then the other thing is the kids on it. They're not like Simpsons-esque or Family Guy, which I love both. But they're actually kids who do shit that we did growing up. Yeah. It's the same era when you didn't have the internet.
They're not like super smart.
Didn't
like,
have video games. But sure. You went out and played. And there's this one scene where the kid's testing out his magnet. He has a school project to do. So he's checking, you know, the things that are magnetized that magnets will stick to. And it slips out of his hand and it gets stuck to the mailbox of a neighborhood guy who's German. So it's the early 70s and, you know, kids all, there's one guy in the neighborhood that you hate. Right?
Yeah.
Or you're afraid of. You don't even know him. You're just afraid of him because he's
old. Don't go near that house.
And he's German, so they think he's a Nazi. Well, the kid goes up to get it, and he tries to get his magnet, and the guy opens the door, and he's really, really nice guy.
Yeah.
And as he's reaching to get the magnet to help the kid, because he's like, hello, children, how are you?
Yeah.
You see the numbers written on his arm. So obviously he's a Holocaust survivor, which isn't funny, but he's a Holocaust survivor. So you know that. The audience knows it. And the kids
don't.
Get the magnet and run away, and here's what happens.
You see that number on his arm? That's how many people he's killed. It's a scoreboard.
Have a fun, different day, children.
So the reason I like that scene so much is because it really shows you naivete of children,
right,
and not knowing anything about the Holocaust, because you didn't really know anything about it until the 80s.
Back then, yeah,
you really didn't. I mean, you knew that something bad had happened.
Right.
Whose phone is that?
Yours. The broken one.
Oh, fuck. Why'd you make me look at it? God damn.
See?
Phone. Anyway, so that's the thing. But the reality is the guy's really nice, and he's nice to kids, and it's a good show, and I look forward to watching it.
What's the animation like?
It kind of reminds me of...
King of the Hill?
Well,
I'm picturing it like Archer.
No, it's not that good. It's not that style.
I thought it looked King of the Hill-ish.
It does look King of the Hill-ish, but when you watch it, it's more... either you guys watch the Venture Brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same style of character animation.
I've seen promos for it, but...
That show is one of my favorites.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's really good.
All right,
cool. We'll talk about it one of these days.
When it comes back, we'll talk about it.
I think it's back, or has been back, hasn't it? Season 6?
It's back.
It's not currently running.
I don't know. I don't know anymore. So that's currently what I'm watching. There's another show on Netflix called Making a Murderer, which is a reality show. It
expands, I haven't seen that.
Spans like 20-some years.
Made a bunch of best of lists for the best of 2015.
Oh, it is so good. It's
But it's like a drama show.
It's a drama. It's a reality. It's a reality drama, a documentary that's been filmed over 20-some years. This guy basically, I'll do it in a nutshell. This guy from Wisconsin... simple guy, you know, not very smart, not dumb, just a nice, you know, whatever. He gets accused of raping a woman, and accused of raping a woman
allegedly
because of his relationship, and it's a small town, and they try to railroad him. Well, he gets railroaded, and he spends 20 years in jail.
Shit.
For 18 years in jail for a rape he didn't commit. He gets out, decides to sue.
Yeah.
For his violation of his civil rights, because, you know, all these years he tried to get into jail. So he sues him, multi-million-dollar lawsuit. Next thing you know, he's accused of murder.
Oh.
And all the evidence is planted. And I mean, you have to decide for yourself. I haven't quite finished it yet. I did go ahead online and look and see that he is still in prison. So obviously he's not getting out. I hate to ruin it for you. Spoiler alert.
Well.
But if you're like me, you really want to know when you're watching something that's reality-based, you want to know the reality behind it. So I started reading the old articles and stuff. But you watch it, and you feel really bad for this guy. And the people you really feel bad for are his parents, because they're hanging on. Yeah. They're in their 70s, 80s, whatever, hanging on, trying to get their son out of jail.
Jeez.
And, you know, Netflix, I think, is kind of becoming the next HBO. Every time I go,
that's the thing with Netflix. Every time I go on there, there's all these shows. I'm like, oh, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, what is this now? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Shit, who's got time for
this? I'm still
paying
for cable, so I have a hard time getting on Netflix because my DVR is always like 80, 90% full. So.
Do you have the new one, the new digital one?
Yes.
So it's full?
It's always hovering around 80.
There's a lot
90%.
Of shit he wants to watch.
Man. Yeah.
And so I tell myself, like, I'll check out one of these Netflix shows when I get my DVR down to 50%.
No.
But it doesn't happen that often. But there's a ton of stuff on Netflix that I want to watch. Like, I definitely want to watch that F for Family. And
yeah.
The only thing I'm looking forward to, we can talk about this in the future, but one of my favorite shows is coming back in March called The Americans. But they keep showing the preview. Yeah. When I was watching Fargo... And also American Horror Story.
Yeah,
you keep seeing promos for two shows that are coming up on FX. One of them is the People versus O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yeah?
With Cuba Gooding Jr. as O.J.
No shit.
And that looks entertaining as hell. And Sarah, what's her name, is playing Marcia Clark.
Right.
You know, what's her name? You like her. She was on that show.
I'm Deadwood.
Yeah, she's on a bunch of shows you like.
She's on American Horror Story, mm-hmm. too. She looks like Adele now. What's her name?
Yeah, she does look like Adele. Never put the two together. Anyway, she's a good actress.
Sarah Paulson.
Yeah, Sarah Paulson.
His name is Sarah Paulson.
Hers.
I know.
Oh.
Do you know that line?
No.
His name is... That's from Fight Club.
Oh.
Remember Meatloaf?
Bitch tits?
Bitch. But when they were all saying his name when he died.
Yeah.
His name is Robert Paulson. It was something like that. Sorry. Anyway.
Also looking forward to Baskets with Zach Galifianakis because the promos look hilarious.
No, I haven't seen any of that.
Seen any promos for Angie Tribeca?
No, what is that? I saw you put that on the list.
Yeah, it's Steve Carell and Nancy Walls created the show. It's a cop show starring Rashida Jones.
Is it a drama or a comedy?
No, it's a comedy.
Oh, okay.
It's like Police Squad, apparently. Some influence. And I think they're running all of them on January 17th, like Netflix style. They're just showing them all.
On FX?
No, I think it's like on TNT maybe, or TBS.
What? On a Turner channel?
Yeah.
Might be good. Who knows?
I think it's going to be good because they already renewed it for another season and it hasn't even aired yet.
Speaking of Netflix,
mm-hmm.
I put this on the sheet from last week and I didn't get to it. Have you guys seen this show, Black Mirror? It's a British show. It's kind of like a modern day Twilight Zone.
Okay.
Where each episode is just a different fucked up story.
Mm-hmm.
But it all has to do with some technology. Like each episode... is like in the future, but just probably 10 years in the future, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's done so friggin' well. I don't even know where to start to try to describe it, but Black Mirror is killer. Now, it's weird. There's two seasons, only three episodes per season. 3 one-hour episodes.
There are a lot of British shows like that. Sherlock was like that, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know how to get into
Black Mirror.
Black Mirror, because each one was different.
One episode, and I think it might have been Black Mirror, but it was only one. I only saw one episode, and there was something about they were blackmailing the Prime Minister of England to have sex with a pig.
Yes,
is that comedy? They were. Then
no, it was serious. And this guy was trying to. He had kidnapped somebody's daughter, like one part of Parliament's daughter, in Parliament's daughter, and. Somebody had kidnapped the daughter of somebody in Parliament and said, either you have to have sex with this pig on live TV.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to get her back or I'm going to shoot her. And it sounds like a comedy or something goofy, but it gets intense. But they really think of all the aspects of...
Right, there's like like LucasArts CGI people that can't, like, how can we CGI this guy?
Right.
Sex with the pig?
Oh, yeah, my God.
They had like the whole country trying to figure out how to, you know, then they had the tactical teams trying to find where this guy is. And
I'm
going
to have to watch that.
Yeah, it's great. And that's just the first episode. Yeah, but they're all good.
The only other thing I want to talk about TV-wise is the finale of Homeland. If people are still watching that show, I know it seems like it's been on forever, which it has, because it was season 5, and it got renewed for one more season. But it was a very satisfying wrap.
Oh, good.
But
then again, it wasn't.
I heard people
great.
Were disappointed.
It was kind of like you got what you wanted.
Yeah.
Based on your hatred of certain people that season. But you also got let down in a big way because there was no...
No twist or something?
Right, there's no twist.
It was just kind of like, yeah, that's what I expected
to
happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch it. Yeah, Homeland, I remember in the first two seasons, everybody was going nuts about, you know, ape shit.
Originally an Israeli show.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
And then, was it the third season? Everybody was like, oh, it's horrible now.
Third season sucked.
Okay.
Third season was god awful.
See, that skews my whole thing sometimes. You know, when I want to get into a show and it's going on, and then I hear people are just like,
yeah, I jumped off after season two.
Right. Well, then I don't even want to watch the good seasons because I want to see where it's going to go. And then if I'm going to hate it, then why even get started? Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was going to ask you.
Sorry, I just got a text from a friend of mine that said, "Did you hear that Nassim
Pedrad
joined ISIS?"
Who?
No.
Who's that?
Oh, no.
That can't be real.
It's not. My friend Matt sent me this message, and then he followed up with, "Nah, she's just on a show called Scream Queens." I said, "Why would a Jewish Iranian join ISIS? It doesn't make any sense."
Well,
me and our friends, too.
They're very persuasive.
Arguing about who was hotter, her or Anna Gasteyer. I went with her, but our friend Stu thinks Anna Gasteyer is hotter than her.
Who's that?
Anna Gasteyer, also from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I know who she is.
I don't.
She was when Will Ferrell and she would do the singing older couple where he was bald and
he was the music teacher.
Okay,
right. Can you picture her now?
And she always did Martha Stewart, which I thought was fantastic. But
anyway,
yeah,
Nassim Pedrad is way hotter.
Another good show on Netflix is Narcos. I haven't finished the first season yet, but it is a good show.
It's you haven't finished the first season?
Bloodline, fantastic show.
Yeah, I want to watch that.
Good show.
I should.
It's boring, but it's a good show.
That's what I heard. It's slow, but
it's boring isn't the right word. The pacing is really slow, but it's shot well. It's interesting. Sissy Spacek is good. Sam Shepard's great. I mean, you can't
put
those two together.
Yeah, I watched the first two, I think, and I need to pick that back. Now, is that main guy, is that the FBI guy from Wolf of Wall Street?
Sam Shepard?
The main guy.
The brother?
The brother, yeah, like the you know, the sheriff.
Yes, I think that's who that is.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah. Wolf of Wall Street, that was a good movie.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Did you know that Tommy Chong was partially responsible for that movie?
No.
Really?
He was in jail with the dude that wrote the book.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
And he encouraged him.
To reach out to the
hey, man, why don't you go ahead and make a movie?
Dude hadn't written the book at that point where they were sharing a cell together, but he would tell all these stories about, hey, all this happened and this happened, and Tommy Chong was just like, you got to write this in a book, man. And he did, and it became The Wolf of Wall Street.
I think he probably did it so he'd stop talking about it.
Yeah. Write it down in a book and I'll read it. And you don't have to talk about it anymore.
Are you guys Cheech and Chong fans at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, old school. I went and saw them.
Yeah, we both saw them on that reunion tour.
At the Tabernacle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that too, which I enjoyed, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, I had a good buzz.
From a nostalgic point of view.
It was.
He let his wife do stand-up. She sucked.
That was horrible. But I have this thing with Cheech and Chong. I'm not huge Cheech and Chong movie fan.
Well, it's not the 70s.
Yeah, but
you got to be high.
Listen, there's Cheech and Chong's next movie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that one?
Yeah, I know it all.
For some reason, and this might be me, that is like a masterpiece, that movie, compared to all their other shit.
Well, I like their comedy albums better.
Yeah, no, I like that too. But even, was it Up in Smoke is the first one?
One of them.
Yeah, that was like the popular one.
Yeah.
For some reason, Cheech and Chong's next movie is hysterical. And
I like the Corsican Brothers one.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like Things Are Tough All Over is pretty good.
How about Born in East L.A., the Cheech and Chong movie without Tommy Chong?
Yeah, right now. Well,
I was born in East L.A.
But I don't know. Next movie, for some reason, because there's no plot. Mm-hmm. It's just all these little vignette scenes that are hysterical.
Yeah.
And it's just them just dicking around in L.A. and doing stupid shit. Oh, anyway.
Pull the nose hair out.
Oh, great. I was going to ask you one more show.
Okay.
Are you guys at all interested in the new X-Files?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, I'll watch the old ones, and I watched the movies, but I was never a huge
really
huge fan. But I mean, I like
because I was way into X-Files, and I'm curious. I haven't heard too much about the new one of the
David
new
Duchovny
ones.
Goes down on Scully in this one. She squirts all over his face.
I like David Duchovny. I was big into
it. I'm out.
Scully. Californication, I loved.
Scully. Really? Scully. Scully.
Why are you watching porn, Mulder?
I don't know.
I can't stop.
The Smoking Man. Scully.
That's
the
only sex name. Addict.
Yeah, he was. Well, he wasn't in the show. He just watched porn. Remember, he didn't jerk off to it. He just watched porn constantly.
Right.
He's fascinated by it. I think because it was escapism. I loved the X-Files until the last season. You know what came along and killed the X-Files was the Sopranos.
Right, because
that was at the same time.
Yeah. On Sunday nights.
Yeah. Well, but I lost when Duchovny went away. Well,
this was before Duchovny. It was two seasons before Duchovny left.
That's when The Sopranos
started? Sopranos debuted in 1998.
Holy shit.
Either 98 or 99.
Well, anyway. Yeah, I lost it there. But now, is Vince Gilligan involved with these? The new ones?
Gilligan! I don't know, man. I haven't dived into it that much.
Oh, okay.
I haven't dove in. I can't. Listen, I'm fading.
I thought maybe. All right. Well, then I'll let you fade.
Don't let me fade.
Well, no, if you want to wrap it up.
Don't let me fall.
This can be it. I am giving you the opportunity, man.
I think it needs to be it. I think we all need to go home and have a wonderful holiday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Christmas.
Happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus today with your big gay pole. I want to slide down the big gay Festivus pole.
Do you?
Yes.
All right, let's go do it.
With my tongue out.
We'll go do it together.
No, leave me. Don't leave me.
Come back.
Is that the kid that became a porn star?
Yeah. I think
Flick.
So.
Flick?
Yeah.
No.
No, Flick is the brother, right?
No.
I don't know. Flick is the... No, Flick is like the...
His name was Scotty.
The Jewy kid was Flick, I think.
Yeah. One of those kids ended up doing porn.
Right.
No, it was the kid that stuck his...
Come back.
Oh, his tongue stuck on a frozen twat. So let's wrap it up here.
Happy
holidays to everybody, whatever plugs. You celebrate. Plugs. Just a couple of things on social media this last week in reaction to the first show, people were tweeting stuff about some stuff I used to do, prank calls and whatnot. And I was going to play some old prank calls here, but, I don't want to do that. I want to do new ones and keep them related to this kind of topic. And there are a lot of radio shows on the internet that talk about pop culture. So maybe I'll fuck with them. We'll see if we can get something funny out of it. I got
faith in you.
One thing I don't like to do is fake prank phone calls. And a lot of radio stations do.
Do they?
They cut them up and make them fake. I mean, they just ramble and make something out of it.
That's like that time you played that interview you did 10 years ago with Donald Trump.
Yeah. that's what happened to me.
That's right.
I feel bad for that guy. He was such a nice guy. He's still a nice guy. Steve McCoy, Star 94, just a nice, nicest guy.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. It's probably because one of his dumb fucking bosses.
No, go ahead and do it.
You think?
Yeah, of course. They don't do anything.
He had to know better.
Fucking broke my phone.
Fuck it.
That's the name of this podcast. Let's, I fucking broke my phone.
Broken phones in the hall. Let's set up a Indiegogo campaign to cover the cost of Tim's screen repair.
What's Indiegogo?
It's like a GoFundMe?
Kickstarter, but for... You know,
hey, this will be a good opportunity.
Half-assed projects that aren't good enough to make it on Kickstarter
or GoFundMe.
GoFundMe is easy because you can beg for anything.
Well, this would be a good opportunity to tell people to check out our social media because maybe we'll have updates on what they can do to help you out.
Okay,
and then maybe people can take requests for money for voices or something.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Listen, if you would like a customized voicemail message. Whereas
like
I...
Carl Kessel.
Okay. Hi, I'm Carl Kessel. I could do, this is, what's his name? Robert Wertheimer. I don't know. I will do any voice that I can do on your voicemail. I will record it, email you the MP3. You have to put it on your phone. I'm not technically averse.
Adept.
See? Fucking fading. This is what happens when you record late at night. You know what? My girlfriend's getting up for work in a half an hour. So let me finish. I will record a voicemail for you for $25. It's very cheap and easy. Ooh. And all you have to do is send me the money on PayPal after I deliver it to you, and you get a free edit. How about that?
Wow.
We'll talk more about that on social media. You can find us at Radio Labyrinth on Facebook, at @radio_labyrinth on Twitter. Please follow us. Please download the podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. What am I missing?
Do you mind if I plug some of our other podcasts
No,
here?
Please do.
Just real quickly, I have a sports show called Grab Your Balls, Let's Talk Sports. Good discussion about sports. It's weekly. Check that out. You can find it on iTunes and on the website as well. Look for it on social media. And I also have an interview coming up with a favorite comedian of mine named Pete Corielli, who's doing New Year's Eve here at the Punchline. And I've been a fan of his for a real long time. He had a great radio show on Sirius with Jim Brewer.
He has a podcast also, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got a great... it's kind of my go-to podcast. It's him and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah, Sebastian, yeah.
Pete and Sebastian show. So I got to do a an hour interview with him, and it was great. So I'll be posting that soon. So look for that on the Two Faces Radio Facebook page.
Cool. Jeff?
Very cool. I have nothing to plug. Just J-E-F-F-K-E-Y-Z.
What about 2 Cents TV?
Yeah.
On Twitter. Yeah, I'll plug my website, 2CentsTV.com. I'm not writing anything for them currently, but...
Oh. Sorry.
I'll,
you can search your old articles.
Yeah, you can look for my old Comic Book Men recaps, and I do some comic strips on there for
Jeff Comic Book Men. Sorry to interrupt you, but you got followed up by Scott Mosier on Twitter.
Yeah,
because he said something about it. He was.
I said I thought Scott Mosier had a bad podcast voice until I listened to our first episode.
And he just wrote back, huh?
he said, thanks. I said, thanks.
Yeah.
But
now, explain
Ira,
to me.
As the engineer of this podcast, is there some sort of filter you can run me through so I don't sound like a homosexual with a with a severe sinus infection?
We'll work on that for next week.
All right, thank you.
You'll get it with time. That's why I'm not bugging you about it. You'll hear it, and then you'll make adjustments.
I'll make adjustments?
No, I'm saying he'll make adjustments.
I want to get that Larry Wax Satan voice thing. Oh. Can you do that?
Yeah, there you can buy one on one of those things on eBay.
I'm going to use that from now on the podcast.
Yeah.
Satan voice.
And you can follow me at Tim Andrews here on Twitter or, of course, Tim Andrews on Facebook. But please, you know, let's keep everything here at Radio Labyrinth. You can also hear me weekly on Eric Von Hessler's podcast. Eric Von Hessler is at Eric Von Line, ericvonline.com. You can hear me do political discussion over there and enjoy the new right-wing Tim Andrews. I don't know if what I am now, but you won't hear any of that shit here. That's for damn sure, because politics is a sci-fi.
Verboten.
Politics is verboten here.
It's verboten?
Verboten. Sorry to use German.
It's not verboten. I mean, we can get into whatever you want. But
Next week, I think we should cover the Hateful Eight. I'm also going to see The Revenant.
I've actually watched
The Revenant.
I've watched the first 30 minutes of Hateful Eight.
Don't you fucking say it.
You did?
Where'd you see that? Oh, it got leaked.
It did get leaked.
It really?
More on that next week.
Holy shit.
Keep it canon.
Do you have the whole movie?
I do.
No, you don't. We're going to have to cut this out. The police will come to your house. No, they won't, because the police hate Quentin Tarantino.
You don't know me.
Yeah, I don't know you.
It's not the Hateful Eight. It's the Adam Sandler Stupid Six or whatever.
They took that off of Netflix's banner page in a day. It got no...
Somebody said it had a
zero rating.
Holy shit.
I can't be that bad. It cannot be that bad. So anyway, digression there. Yeah, check me out on there. And like I said, if you'd like to have any kind of custom voicemail or any kind of thing, just hit me up.
All right.
All right. So
easy to find you.
Thanks.
Well, let's get Tim a new screen, people.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to our first podcast. We hope you stick with us, because we're going to talk about all sorts of your favorite things. And again, suggestions, Facebook, Twitter, social media, send it all to us, and we're happy to have you. So have a very Merry Christmas, or I hope you had a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And we'll do another show before New Year, so...
Yeah, hopefully. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. What is it? Keep it canon or keep it canon?
Keep it canon.
This is a Two Faces Radio podcast. Please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at radio_labyrinth. Two Faces Radio.